All right, we are here. Welcome. We have put around you a vortex of energy. You at the still point. A vortex of energy that enables you to be able to release anything you do not wish to maintain in your mental, emotional, and physical bodies. And also, a way of spinning out into your reality what you choose to create and manifest, so that your reality is totally aware and informed of what it is you wish to say. If you are sensitive to energetic fields, you may be aware of the vortex that we have set up. This vortex is capable of working on functioning on many different levels for you. Whether you are here in person listening to us or listening to us via sound file. It is something that we install energetically for every love and healing event that we do, so that you can continue, should you ever desire to go back and re-listen to any of the meditations or do any of the sessions again, to take advantage of. So now let us turn our attention to the topic of the day, and that is emotional management. Emotions are sometimes the most difficult things for humans to deal with. Much of that is because your culture has a lot of judgment around emotions. Emotions are not facts. Emotions are reactions to your perceptions that you have. And as such, seem to just arise unbidden, unannounced, throughout the circumstances of your life. When you're a child, your emotions are rather uncontrollable. They rise, they fall. As you've noticed, a child can get over something rather quickly. Can be upset, can be crying, and doing a whole temper tantrum, and then something distracts the child, and it's all over. Tears stop. The amazement of that resilience that adults have about it. They wish that they too could be that resilient. But you have a different focus where it comes to emotions than a child. A child is just discovering emotions. You as an adult need to know how to manage them, how to work with them, how to use them for your benefit, how to understand how important they are in your spiritual development, your personal sense of self, your self-esteem, your image of yourself, and how to utilize them to create and connect with others, a bond of love. Indeed, you came to love and be loved. Now, emotions, the word itself gives it away. E, energy, in motion. Emotions are something that are not static. They are not just there. They arise in a movement of energy, an energy that flows through your system, through your energy field. They move in a wave. They come up to the surface to give you the awareness of your perceptions, of what's going on. They give you a message of what's happening in your life. They are messengers of the flow, the divine flow, which is the continuous energy that moves through you You've probably heard a lot of this referred to as Kundalini. It's a powerful energy that comes from your spiritual dimensions that actually physically energizes your body, gives you energy through your seven chakras, through your whole energy body, and enables you to function and interact with the physical plane in your three-dimensional reality. You must allow emotions to be in motion. You cannot stop them, stall them, or, in other words, somehow or another, fortify them, brick them in, and shut them in a closet and shut the door on them. You can't do anything to emotions but let them flow. Most people who have had tremendous judgment given to them about being emotional, particularly women are expected to be emotional. That's a kind of a judgment from a male chauvinistic perspective, of course. Because for men, they are trained very, very early. You don't show emotion. That's weakness. That's sissy. That's being like a woman, like a female. No, you've got to be totally strong, invincible, powerful. You've got to be a fortress. You can't let anything like an emotion come up, because an emotion reveals that you're bothered by or influenced by or powerless to your environment. Something from the outside is taking over. You can't let that happen. You must not lose control. You must be calm and confident at all times. And when it is required, must take decisive action. This comes from childhood training of a man. If he doesn't get it from his parents, he definitely gets it from his playmates on the playground, from other boys, perhaps older boys, from the bullies. Girls, on the other hand, talk about their feelings. They talk about their feelings most often with starting out with their mother, and then they talk about it with other girls. It becomes a natural part of their life. But then they too come to a place to where they feel that the emotions that they have make them totally weak and vulnerable, make them dependent. And they go seeking the strong, impervious to emotion people, male or female, to attach to. Or they're wounded so much that they dissociate, they shut down, they defer to others, or they just take some kind of active track. Men take a very high active track generally. They're expected to. Some women do too. But all of this is so that the emotions don't show, because there's a fear that when a wave of emotion arises, that he or she does not know how to handle it, what to do with it. In childhood, generally, there are what we call emotional wounds that are created, some way more devastating than others. But for each person, every single person, there's a tremendous amount of devastation connected to emotions. Because the parents just can't handle it. The parents are having their problems with their own emotions, trying to keep their own emotions from taking over, from overwhelming them, from being too much of a problem, and here comes a child loading them with emotions. So most parents say, I'm going to do anything it requires to make them shut up, to make them stop, because I can't handle it. It's frazzling me out. I can't stand it. So the child learns that they can get punished for having emotions, or too much of it. So you can see by the time that you make it into adolescence, you're already wounded. You're already judging emotions. You're already feeling vulnerable because of your own emotions. You're already feeling the intensity of them. And then adolescence, with all the hormones coming up and rising up, the intensity not just goes whoop, way up. Hormones are the physical corollaries to the emotional body. You have a physical body, emotional body, a mental body, and a psychic spiritual body. Four bodies. You see one of them. You don't see the other unless you are a psychic and you can see auras and stuff. Most of the time, psychics who look at people and see auras see the emotional body. Psychics can say, oh, I see a person in your field, you know, and their name is, you know, Philip, right, or whatever. And that's the looking in the emotional body, where you stash people, where you stash events in your life, where you stash symbols of your woundings, symbols of your passion, symbols of your desires, and all the emotional stuff that's there. It's read by a psychic. Now, when you become an adolescent, you really start jamming up your emotional body with these symbols, because you begin to connect with your peer group, you begin to connect with the world more. You leave the home environment and all the stuff that goes on there and go out to deal with all the people at school and your community, your networks of friends and so on. But with all the hormones raging, the emotions are really, really strong. Everything is seen in black and white. Everything is seen in the most intense ways. Then you go into your 20s, and now you're expected to even work in a larger sphere of influence, a larger area of playground of your life, and that's your world. You're getting a job, starting your own family, whatever it is. If you haven't learned how to handle your emotions through childhood or adolescence, young adulthood does not seem to make it any easier. It just gets layered and layered and layered. There are three basic energies of emotions, three basic kinds or areas of emotionality, you might say. The first one that you experience in your life is probably fear. Right, fear, and all its allies, all its many permutations. Then you have anger. Anger rises a little later. Anger has all its relatives on aspects. And then you have a general reaction, a general response to limitation. And this is hurt. Now, these are three sections of emotions that we would call, or most people would consider, negative emotions. There are three types of experiences when you are not fully feeling the essential bottom line essence of emotion, which is love. You know that when you're in love, or when you're feeling love, how everything seems to feel okay. You can handle just about anything that comes along if you're really happy and gloriously in love enough. Because when you're in love, you are actually loving yourself. You're seeing a person who is a mirror to you. Someone that you can give love to, and that person as a mirror bounces the love back to you, and you can see yourself as the glorious loving being that you are. You step outside of shame and pain, which underlies the woundings. Shame and pain underlie hurt. If you experience extreme disappointment, sometimes even mild disappointment, you can feel hurt. You can also feel fear. You can also feel anger. Fear has with it also its complements of anxiety, nervousness. It has a sense of being unstable. Fear has a tendency to look into the future darkly, to project into the future things that could go wrong, things that could be challenging and stressful for you. Anger is much more related to the past, the near past. Anger can move into resentment, frustration. It can show as defensiveness. It can show as hostility. Anger is a one way of moving energy. It tends to be more outward compared to fear, which is more inward. Fear can be more visual in a sense of imagination. Imagining things, projecting things onto other people and circumstances. Whereas anger requires some action, some movement. It's got to go somewhere, got to do something. It's a much more intense aggression energy. Hurt, on the other side, on the other hand, is very much a more internal state. It's a state of stalling and shutting the self down or pulling the self back and inward. But inward not in the sense of looking at the future, but inward looking at the past. Hurt is an ongoing or long-term situation if you're in it a bit, to what has happened in the past and your assumptions that you've made about it. Now, hurt, fear, and anger can layer over time with each other. If the layers get big enough, it can be crushing. It can be overwhelming. If they get high enough, your baseline of emotion will just be intensity all the time. And every one of you has experienced in your life having your emotional body, experiencing in your physical body the intensity of emotion going on continuously. Continuously. Now, when the emotional body is continuously intense, it means that these layers have piled up high enough that in order for you to stay above them in a way to kind of see beyond the pile, you must have a baseline of function that's really high up there in stress. These people are vigilant. They're vigilant in the sense that they're always anticipating and expecting that there's going to be some other emotional problem that could show up any moment, and they would react with fear, anger, or hurt, or one of its facets. And that's going to raise up the intensity even more. It's generally the intensity of emotions that is hard for people to handle. It is hard for people to handle an intense positive state as it is for them to handle an intense negative state. Fear anger and hurt are seen as negatives, and they can be. They can be quite limiting. They have useful function, though, as well. Emotions are all feedback to you. Feedback of what's going on in your life. Feedback of what's going on in your reality to you. They're telling you what's going on inside you. That's the feedback. They're not telling you what that other person is thinking or feeling. And most people initially make that mistake. If you feel fear because of something somebody says, you're thinking that person may be deliberately trying to scare you or manipulate you. If you feel anger at some person, you feel that person may be intentionally trying to hurt you, trying to shut you down, trying to limit you. If you feel hurt, you can think that that person has rejected you, abandoned you, lost you, left you, doesn't care about you, doesn't love you, doesn't want you to be happy, is ignoring you because you're worthless or something. You can make all sorts of projections. And of course, you're going to consider these emotions negative if you have all that stuff going on with it. But fear is useful. It's telling you you need to watch out for something. You don't have to be in vigilance all the time. You can wait for the fear to show up, and the fear will show, okay, there's something for you to pay attention to, something for you to watch. Watch out for, something for you to check out. Check out whether you feel safe or not. Check out whether there's a threat to you or not, and whatever the threat is. Most fear is emotional threats. Threats of being in more emotional intensity. More emotional overwhelm, which could lead to emotional pain, distress, and actually malfunctioning. Occasionally you'll get a fear that's physical and real. If somebody puts a gun to you, if you get mugged, those kinds of things, those are really what we call physical, real, in the moment, true fears. Because it puts your whole body on alert so that you can be vigilant, so you can be aware, so you can be in a heightened sense of awareness and you can be mobilized quickly to take immediate action. If you feel fear a lot, your body's mobilizing to take immediate action, but there's nothing to take because there's nothing really going on except more emotional intensity. And so therefore your body goes into a heightened chronic state of alert. Some people have this with their jobs, other people with their relationships, other people have it with their hormones, other people have it with their digestion. But it ends up making their lives always being on guard, always watching out for when the next whammy, the next issue, the next intensity wave hits them. Anger is something, as we say, from the immediate past. It's something often triggered by what you hear. You can get angry by what someone says, or somebody telling you what someone else said. Anger at what someone is doing to someone, someone taking power and control over someone, someone hurting someone, someone damaging someone. You can get angry. It can lead to rage. Now, anger has a shorter lifespan unless you're angry a lot. If it's just occasionally, you'll get angry and then you'll figure out what you're really angry about, and at some point you'll be able to let it go in the natural process of time. But it creates, anger creates a certain amount of adrenal energy. You need to do something when you're angry. Not shut down. That brings the anger back into you and messes up your body. But in anger, you can process and clear it really quickly. Fear is a little harder because fear has to do with the future, and you have to evaluate the future to be able to work really effectively with fear. You have to look at the future and realize, you know, the future isn't as bad as I am projecting it to be. The future, but there are scary things in the future. There are things I'm going to have to deal with in the future, and I feel like I have to deal with them right now. It creates a urgency. Anger has its own urgency, but many people just can stuff anger, just kind of let anger float along for years. And the only thing that you'll notice with that is the anger will tend to put on weight, create depression. Whereas fear has a tendency, if you notice, how many really highly nervous and high-strung people are skinny, right? It tends to make you lose weight. Now, we don't recommend fear as a weight loss program, right? It's very stressful. Hurt puts on weight, too. When you have hurt, you have a tendency to chew on the past. You chew it over and over and over, thinking that eventually you will digest it, eventually something you will get from this chewing on it, thinking about it, mulling over it, will make you feel better. At some point you'll feel better. You won't feel so bad about yourself. You won't still feel bad about how what other people feel or think about you or about your life. That too can create weight. Any emotion that is stuffed back into you will create weight and health problems. It will create problems with your endocrine system or your hormones. It will create problems with your digestion. That may be one of the first places you see it. If you have too much hurt and anger pulled back into you, and by the way, women are encouraged to do this. They are not encouraged to take action. They're not encouraged to be bold and tell everybody off. They're encouraged to be nice, to defer, to hold it inside. And they're also threatened to hold it inside by the very sensitivity and emotional overwroughtness of whatever person it is that they're trying to deal with that makes them angry. So you've got all of this stuff going on because you have fear, anger, and hurt patterned in your subconscious mind, patterned in your physical body, patterned in your emotional body, and it's structured with all sorts of concepts and beliefs and orientations and judgments, perceptions, the way you evaluate your perceptions, all sorts of filters, all sorts of projections on other people, expecting them to feel and think certain ways without really knowing this to be true. All of this, blah, 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 it's a lot of stuff, a lot of detail. It's hard to wade through it, clean it up, and process it. The reason we went and talked about fear and anger and jumped back to fear and went to anger, went to hurt and jumped back to anger, is to emphasize to you. Because by the time we got through all of that, you're like, oh my gosh, this is complicated. Yes, that's what we wanted to show you. Because that's what you do in your life all the time. You jump from one to the other before one is completely finished. Before you've come to terms with it, before you understand what it's telling you. Fear tells you what is important for you to pay attention to and to be alert and to respond with clarity. Anger's message to you is, where are you taking this personally? What are you carrying? What are you taking on yourself? anger's message is, why is this important? Something's important. You got to pay attention. Something's really important. It connects to your passion somehow. Something that's really important to you, something you feel very strongly about, gets touched and you get angry. The hurt is to remind you, when you're feeling hurt, it's actually a message to you to look at yourself, to evaluate how you perceive yourself, and to love yourself. And these are the positive sides of fear, anger, and hurt. If you have a lot of fear, you can also be really excited, interested, inspired about the future, imaginative. If you have anger transmuted into its positive, a lot of passion, a lot of force of presence, of radiance, a lot of will. And if you have hurt presence and you love yourself, you forgive yourself, you love yourself, you nurture yourself, you care about yourself, you lift out of hurt. You lift into a sense of bliss, seeing yourself blissful, seeing yourself as the light being that you are. And when you're in these positives, you can connect so much better to love, which is the essential bottom line emotion. We talked before about the nature of reality. We talked about how you go evolve yourself, evolve your consciousness. You're already there, but to evolve your awareness through the different levels, planes, dimensions of yourself. And when you can do that, you end up ultimately understanding that everything in your reality is made out of love. Everything. Even the most painful, horrible, horrible situations. When you get to a certain level, you begin to experience the oneness, you realize everything is everything. You are everything in your environment, every person, everything, every tree, every plane or helicopter. You are it. You're everything. And it's all made of a substance of that is ecstatic bliss called love. That's where you're going. And that's when you're in the true intensity of emotion at its highest level. Now, don't feel bad if you're not there yet. Some people say, oh, I should be there. All the years I've been meditating, all the years I've been doing this and seeking and searching and studying and processing, and I should be there already. No, it's not something you can earn. It has to do with managing your emotions. It has to do with healing your perceptions. Being aware that your perceptions that come to you through your emotional body, that is brought to you by your emotions, all these perceptions, you can clear the filters that are in front of them so you can experience them cleanly, clearly. And when you do, you realize your reality is your friend. We've talked about that. We had a talk about making your reality your friend. You'll discover you're safe. You stop fearing. You discover that it's all you. Nobody has it out for you. Nobody's attacking you. You're a free person, and you don't feel anger so much. You feel passion. And when you get that clarity of perception from hurt, you realize that you're still somewhere deep down inside yourself, holding a grudge, a limitation against yourself. And because you love yourself, you're going to lift it. And you lift it. You lift it out of your emotional body. And it takes a little while, and it will lift out of your physical body. All these emotions can get stashed in your physical body. It takes longer to get anything out of your physical body. But if you manage your emotions, you'll find that gradually over time that your body will feel better. It won't be carrying so much baggage, psychic baggage. So how do you manage your emotions? First of all, you must be aware of them. Rather than instinctively respond to some reactive pattern you selected to that emotion many years ago, stay present. The person you are today, you're so much more than you were 20, 30, 40 years ago. You've come so far. Just look at it. Even though you think, I haven't grown much at all, I still fall prey to my emotions. That's not necessarily the measurement of your growth, but to also for you to recognize that when you evaluate things, you're evaluating things from a greater level of power, a greater sense of self, with greater wisdom. You've come a long way. So in order to manage your emotions, you've got to realize that those still instinctual patterns you have must come into your awareness. They must be present for you to be aware of them. You must be present with them to be aware of them when they arise. And they will arise like a wave. You don't have to go out and say, okay, I'm gonna heal my anger. Don't worry, dear one. Anger's going to come to you. That's the way you set it up. As soon as you say, I'm going to heal my anger, your very kind and supportive reality will give you an opportunity to be angry and to see, oh, here is an anger, by golly, I can work on. If you approach your emotions as your workshop, your magical workshop, this is where you're going to learn about yourself. You're going to learn who you are as the divine being. Now, if you have a tendency to fall into hurt, you think and you project that every one of these challenges is going to provide you an opportunity to feel bad about yourself, to see how lowly you are, how poorly you've done, how bad a job you've completed. What a schmuck you are. And you're going to have to, get out the whip, get that inner slave driver going, get the internal critical parent going to kind of whip you back into shape and improve yourself, damn it. But that's not emotional management. That's instinctive, old, crappy reactions. And we suggest they must be become aware of first, and then you can eliminate them through choice. It's your reality. You have all the power of it. And you got to take your power back. That's why we did a whole day on power retrieval. So first, feel the emotion. Anger and fear can be felt as guilt. Fear can be felt as terror. Raw terror. Anger can be felt as frustration, irritation, annoyance, or even huge as like rage. You know when these waves come up. Hurt can feel, in a sense, rejected. separate, a bit lost. Well, as they come up, just feel them and sit with them. It's going to be uncomfortable, dear ones. Now, if you're in the middle of a circumstance and somebody says something and you just start to get angry, you may not be able to just say, oh, stop, just a minute. Being angry. Okay, that's anger. Okay, now I mean, move it. Okay, now I'm passionate. Okay. No, you can't do that in the moment. What you do is you become very aware of your instinctive reaction, how you respond, what you do, what you think, what you feel during that time. Believe us, that takes practice. Because generally you go into automatic, boom, you forget everything that's going on inside you. You just go into knee-jerk, automatic, subconscious response. So becoming aware of that is critical. After the fact, after you've already done your response, and maybe you did it badly, or maybe you did it well, then you evaluate it when the circumstance is not going on, as soon as you can after that circumstance, after the interchange, for example. Then you go over and say, okay, I was angry, and look what I thought, and here's what I felt, and I assumed that that person was after me, and I assumed that that person wanted to get this from me, or they were wanting to keep me from this, they were doing blah, 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 blah. And you'll get it. Oh, look at all this baggage I've put on it. Look at all these assumptions I've made. Look at how I've taken these perceptions and put all these filters on it so that I could take this personally. Does that person really know me? Probably not. Does that person really spend their life figuring out how to make me miserable?
Yes.
No, probably not. Now, the point of view of a child, which is where you started all of this, started all your patterns, the child lives for themselves. They don't know how other people think or feel. They have no clue. So they assume that everybody thinks and feels exactly like they do. Children are extremely selfish. And they're supposed to be. They have no clue what their boundaries are yet. If you're still having a problem with boundaries, you're still getting lost in your inner child. Still responding from that place, trying still to figure out, who am I, basically? You know, how can I function? Why? How do I need to react and respond to things to keep out of trouble, to keep from being punished? So what you mainly want to do at first, with an eye of compassion for yourself and a curiosity, it is a research project, dear ones. As a research project, pay attention to what you think, what you feel, and how you respond to the different emotions. If you're the type that keeps journals, keep an emotional journal. Today, I felt so much anger at this coworker, and here's all of what I thought about it at the time. Here's how I responded, and here's how I felt about how I responded. And here's how this other person responded. And here's what I thought they meant. Now, you don't have to write all that down in detail, but just to go through it in your mind and write something about it. What you learned about that. With your fears, with your angers, with your hurts. To write about it is a really good way to do it. If you don't write about it, maybe you think about it, and maybe you record it on a stick, you know. Or maybe you think about it, and you get to a place where you really kind of get the pattern, you get the picture, and you say, okay, next time this happens, then I'm going to try and respond differently. I'm going to see if when I take, instead of taking it personally as an attack, I'm going to say, oh, that's interesting. You know, some kind of different tactic to see if I can shift myself out of my pattern. And we'd suggest that for all of you. Think about it. Play with it. It's a playground. This is what you're in here in the physical plane. This is the illusion. That when an emotion comes up, to recognize your pattern of reaction. Understand it. See, you can even, if you want to do historical research, it's fine, but don't get lost there. Most people can get back in their childhood figuring things out and stay there indefinitely. Don't go there so much. Just say, oh, okay, I picked that up when I was a child. That was natural to me then. Don't go into how mean your mother was or how bad your father was or how you were abandoned and blah, 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 blah. Don't go into all that extra stuff. Just go and look at, okay, here's where I picked it up and here's why I did it, because this I felt my circumstances, my environment were such. Keep it simple. There's plenty of complexity ahead, right? You don't need to go and go over the sad story of your childhood again, right? It's not going to make any difference in your emotional body today if you do that. So just recognize why you react the way you react. Maybe it was in adolescence where you felt insecure and you were afraid that people weren't going to accept you. You wanted desperately people to like you, to admire you, to think of you well. So you were gotten to this whole thing about, okay, you know, are they criticizing me or they're not? You know, do they like me? Do they not like me? I'm putting it on that kind of perspective. If you respond that way, then you might be coming from the adolescent point of view. Again, don't go into detail about the miseries of high school or something, you know, or how rejected you were, or how your best friend, you know, stole your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know? Just let it go. What you want to look at is the pattern and how you felt about your reality at the time that initiated your putting together this pattern of response. This assumption that you make about why this type of thing affects you and why you react the way you do. If you can understand that, to kind of get a handle on it, all of a sudden, you will realize you are playing games with yourself. You may have been playing manipulative games with them. A lot of people who play with hurt a lot, they select hurt quite frequently, are very sensitive about what other people think about themselves, about them. And they're always looking for people to mirror their good qualities, to admire them, and to show lots of appreciation for them, even if they're not doing very much for the other person, but just they just want it, you know? They want their egos built up so that maybe they could be loved. It's all about love, you know? Especially with the hurt emotions, all about. And so if a person shows themselves to be hurt, they can make you feel pretty guilty, can't they? Have any of you ever been made to feel guilty by your mother? It's almost universal. Oh, you disappoint me, you hurt me so. And now you feel like a real, real heel. I'm such a bad person. Well, hurt can be used as manipulation. Anger can be used as intimidation. Fear can be a seeking for someone to take care of you. Please, please, I'm so panicked. Please come help, 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 help me, help me. Recognize what the orientations are of these limited states. Not negative per se. If you hold on to them, do them frequently as your favorite MO of life, you'll find them toxic. That's what we're talking about. It gets in your body. It hurts you. These are toxic emotions. These are when they become negative. But they're not negative in and of themselves. It's just long-term use. So you're going to be looking at the long-term use as well. Do you really understand what you are doing with emotion? And this is before you even change your behavior. This is before you even shift yourself. First is to understand, to kind of get a handle on it, to look what you're doing with your emotions. Very important, right? This is the big step. This is the one that takes all the time. The second thing that happens as you start to get a handle of it, so that you can, in the actual time that it is happening, when the hurt or the anger or the fear is actually happening, that you can have a certain presence of mind to in a, almost step back from the emotion and identify it and say, oh, this is anger, this is frustration, this is terror, this is anxiety, this is hurt, this is feeling rejected, and get it at the moment it's happening. Where the filters come up and you see everything automatic, a cascade, a triggered cascade of responses and feelings and thoughts. When you get it, then as it happens, you can start being present and aware, and you won't fall into the cascade. Now, this is the trickiest point of emotional management for most people, because they say, okay, I'm there, I see what's going on, and I'm not engaged in it. I'm just standing here present and aware, and stuff is going on. But now what do I do? It's like, I have no new strategies. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what to do. Well, this is where your creativity comes in. What happens is an event that, you know, that brings up an emotion will happen. You will become aware of it, but you won't know what to do. So you go back and you'll do your old thing because you just don't know what else to do. But it'll be like, I did that old thing. I had to choose to do that old thing because it wasn't suddenly automatic anymore. But I didn't have anything else to do. That's the only options I know. So I guess I'll go and do them. When you're in that place, you're already in your power. You're not giving your power over to the emotion or to the person who's triggering it or the circumstance in your life that's triggering it. The future that is, the imagined future that's triggering it. Or the over-evaluated past that's triggering it. You're in your power. You're aware. You're present. So if the first few times that happens, you may have to do what it is you instinctively have always done. You're just having to do it consciously this time. And we highly recommend this. Most people think, no, at this point, I really shouldn't. You know, oh, I went and did the old pattern. Oh, bad me. No. No, you're doing it consciously because you don't know the alternative yet. And you're looking at it and with a great deal of awareness and say, I'm in this situation. I'm this player in this play, and it's just unfolding, and I'm doing this, and I'm saying that, and so on. And it's almost arbitrary. Yes, dear ones. Your emotional responses are pretty much arbitrary. They're up to you. But you're watching yourself do it. Now give yourself permission to do the old patterns consciously. Key is conscious. Be conscious as you do them. Then after the circumstance, after the wave of emotion has come and gone and so on, sit down and take it apart, take the situation apart. Now, how would I have responded differently from that place of being aware? What new pattern do I need to have there? The first thing that we would suggest in building a new pattern, and this is where the emotional management really comes in. This is where you really are empowered to work with your emotions. The first thing is saying, here's what I felt. And you feel it. You remember the situation, you feel the emotion. Okay. Now, I realized that this is what I was really feeling and thinking. And I realized I was separate from the old pattern of feeling and thinking. So now, this time, I'm going to express that feeling as if they're there, right there in front of me. Or if I see my future self, my personified future, this terrible future that I have been seeing, that she's right there or he's right there, I'm going to speak to that future. And then, or maybe it's the past, that you'd made an evaluation or you'd made a judgment about your past and about you and your inadequacies in dealing with some things on and how you were never loved or never supported or whatever. And you're going to look at that and you're going to say, okay, next time I feel hurt, you know, I'm going to feel hurt right now, but next time I feel hurt, I'm not going to tie it to the past. I can see that I'm starting not to tie it to the past now. I'm beginning to be aware of it. Okay. So I'm going to feel the hurt. Okay, hurt. Okay, I feel the hurt. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to forgive myself. And you'll find inside the hurt there'll be layers of anger and fear. Inside the anger may be fear and hurt. Inside the fear may be anger and hurt. They all layer. They may not be exclusive. Just notice your particular blend. And feel all the emotions. Feel all that you felt. And say, okay, I'm feeling this one because I feel that I'm feeling it stronger because I feel like they are rejecting me or they're judging me or they're criticizing me or they're, you know, deliberately trying to manipulate me or this image or this circumstance, or this future is inevitable, written in stone somehow, by some higher authority. I'm just going to just be with it, and be with it, and feel it. I'm going to understand it, and let it go now. And you let go of the hurt. You tell your body to let it go. You let go of the anger. You tell your body to let it go. You let go of the fear. You talk to your body. Yay, come on. You can let go of the fear now. You let it go. Maybe you have to forgive the other person. Maybe you have to, in a sense, let go of your future. Let go of your past. And only be present. Until you find yourself not feeling any limited emotion at all. And this is what you do after the fact. Don't do it in the middle of the circumstance. You don't have the time yet. You will in the future. But first, you've got to do it slow. It'll build up. You'll be able to do it much more quickly. On the spot, in fact. But at first, you've got to feel all the emotions, get all the messages. One of the messages of fear is that I don't feel empowered. So where do you need to take your power back? From what? From whom? Messages of anger. I let this person or this circumstance get me all upset and angry. And I really want to, you know, fight. I want to punish. I want to have revenge. And when you go into all of that, then wait a minute, I've given too much power away to this person, circumstance. Then in the hurt, I've given my power away to my past. I've made assumptions about myself, my limitations, my story about myself, my storyline, poor me, the poor me storyline. Nobody loves me. They always exclude me. Reject me. They want me to be somebody I'm not. Now we're exaggerating a little bit, or are we? And at some point you can recognize, hey, you know, look what a power I've given away to my story. All that depression, which is all the emotions turned inward on yourself. That's what creates depression. It makes you heavy. Takes away all your motivation, your joy of life. Because all those emotions you haven't processed yet, that you haven't looked at, that you don't know what to deal with, all that intensity got stuffed inside you. And you're like holding weights, heavy weights, maybe physical weight, but psychic weight for sure. You can let it go. Let go of the past, let go of your story. We've talked about this in detail in various sessions. And whatever piece that you feel you need more information on, we encourage you to go and listen to Retrieving Your Power, Making Your Reality Your Friend, Dealing with Fear and Hurt and Shame and Rage. And we have all sorts of discussions on that. Do it. Take your power back. And then say, okay, if I'm not taking this personally from whoever the circumstances, if I am not bought and sold by my own storyline and subject to all its limitations, if I'm not this terrible person that, you know, I thought I was supposed to be, or that other people thought I was, if I'm this radiant light being, if I am this powerful reality creator with an auric field out to here, how would I, in this particular circumstance, have responded differently? How would I respond differently? From that place, how would have I responded? Without any cynicism, anger, without any judgment, without any assumptions, just being present in my power, in my light, and somebody comes here and insults me, or all of a sudden I get a picture of a scary future, or somebody rejects me, or I feel isolated and excluded, hurt. Here I am, and back in my power now. I let this go out of my body. Now, sometimes when it's anger, there's so much energy in anger. It has more energy than the other two. Maybe you have to do a visualization and do forgiveness, where you have to blow somebody up, beat somebody up, something, get the violence out of your body, get all that energy out. That can be very helpful. But you will get eventually to a still point where you're in your power, where in your light. And that's when you redream your future. That's where you dream your new story. We did one a whole day on story, your new story. You rewrite your story. You see yourself as a powerful person. That doesn't mean that you are stony-faced, that you're tough, and you can put up with insults. No, not at all. In fact, if a person seems to or appears to be attacking you, criticizing you, scamming you, manipulating you, scaring you, rejecting you, if it appears that that's going on, you can have an inner dialogue with between you and their higher self and discuss things. But generally, most people don't really care all that much about what you're feeling Have you ever noticed? They're really thinking about what they're feeling. They're protecting and defending themselves. They're doing what feels best for them. So you may need to do some forgiveness here. Get all the emotion out at them. Recognize that you're not taking it personally anymore. And then you can forgive them. Then you can forgive them. Let them go. Just erase all the stress back to zero. And then say, okay, how do I proceed? And dream something new. Dream something new. Dream you listening and saying, oh, well, that's interesting. Tell me more. When have you ever been really angry at somebody and starting to yell at them and whatever, and they look at you and say, oh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't realize you were so angry. Tell me more. Has anybody ever done that to you? Has anybody ever said, oh, you may be right. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I can understand from your perspective how that would really upset you. Can you imagine yourself doing that? Can you imagine yourself having that presence in the face of anger, for example, or in the face of hurt and rejection? Have you ever tried to understand what it's really like from the other person's point of view? When you're in your automatic, no, you assume it. And you assume the worst a lot of times of other people. But when you get to the place of your power and in your light, imagine now assuming the best of other people. Imagining that they feel that what they are doing, whatever behavior they're doing, is something that they feel is going to make them feel better.